Good morning. 00 hours.
Mostly cloudy.
34 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours.
Mostly cloudy.
35 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours.
Mostly cloudy.
35 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours.
Mostly cloudy.
34 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours.
Mostly cloudy.
34 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours.
Cloudy.
36 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours.
Cloudy.
37 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours.
Rain.
37 degrees.
K8RUH. NABBF.
Took the late shift so you could talk to your friends, did you? How you doing this morning, Dakota?
For some reason, I thought my wife had to work today, so I was just, like, waiting for her to get out of bed for me to wake up, which is usually what I do. But, she didn't. I got out of bed at, like, 6:30, and then futzed around and checked on my network because I was having all kinds of issues last night, and now I'm finally rolling here.
Were you checking on the network at work? What issues it had?
No, my house. Last night I put a 2 terabyte SSD in my Steam Deck, and then I put another 4 terabyte in my gaming PC, so I was downloading everything again, and go figure, Spectrum decides to shit the bed and, like, didn't work from 6 o'clock until, like, midnight, so I checked on it this morning, everything's good now.
That sucks.
Yep, but it's working now, everything's downloading, so should be all set.
That's cool. That Steam Deck, is that one of those little, like, gaming, lack of better terms, like a Game Boy or whatever the Sega version of that was?
Yeah, it's a Linux handheld gaming PC, so not super powerful, but highly optimized and directly integrates with the Steam store, so pretty sweet, I'm not going to lie. That's predominantly what I play with now.
I would say so if you're putting a 2 terabyte drive in.
Well, all these games are ridiculous. Like, an average game is 60 gig. So I bought the one with 512 knowing I was going to upgrade it. And I finally got around to doing it. So, and then my PC, I put a 4 terabyte in there, so now I got 5 terabyte. And then I put a 96 gig RAM kit in it. So that thing's ridiculous. And I've got my whole library on it now. I don't have to re-download anything.
Wow. That's a rather powerful computer. That's pretty cool.
An IT nerd, bro. I gotta have a sweet computer at home.
I guess so. Did you get a chance to watch that video in the background yesterday?
No, I couldn't stream anything, but that's on my list to do at work today. I'm not the most motivated. I think I'm afraid of coming down with what Sean had. Like, I woke up and I had the scratchy throat and all that, aches and headaches, so was not feeling it.
sick. I just have a case of I don't want to go to work.
That could also be it.
Yeah, so if you, when you watch it, it'll be interesting to see what you think. The whole thing is based off of Ubuntu, I think it's 2.11, 20.11, something like that. And he builds this whole program that's plug and play with the radios and digi-rigs, and it's pretty impressive. So if it's something you're interested in, I'm interested in it, and I think soon I will have a couple of Dell 7220 rugged that we could put it on. So it could be pretty interesting to get that going. We'll see what happens.
If it's just installing and compiling packages on Ubuntu, I'm game. I can do it. Whether or not I use it, I don't know, but I'm more than happy to set one up for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how useful it really will be, but I think he integrates, like, all the digital modes. He has offline maps and all, I mean, he's put a lot of work into this. And a lot of it is open to build off of, but then there's also, the way I'm understanding it, he has a certain portions of it that are only available to people that subscribe to his Buy Me a Coffee, which is the equivalent of Patreon. And I have the lowest subscription to that because I think he's doing cool stuff and I want to support him. But so we have access to all of it is the point of my story here. So it could be interesting. You know, maybe it's something you only use once in a while, but there's a major revision coming in April. So my thought process was just kind of poke around with it now, and then when it comes to April, be ready to build it all up. So it could be interesting.
So from a high level, he's using a PC to send digital packets of some sort via radio to another radio with a PC?
Yeah, but he has all of the standardized digital modes as part of the package. So you can do JSA, you can do WinLink, you can do whatever it is you're looking to do. He has that built into this tool, and you can use the tool, and it automatically does all the setup, all the CAT control, all the whatever you may need to do with the radio and the DigiRig as the audio card to interface with the computer. All the settings are already pre-built and everything like that. So, like I said, it's supposed to be literally plug and play. You turn your radio on, you plug it all in, you pick your radio, and you're off to the races, is my understanding of it.
All right, so the trickiest part is getting it installed. I'm in. We'll give it a go.
Cool, yeah, and I think because you're already familiar with this Ubuntu, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. He's talked about it, I've watched a couple other videos with people talking about it. It's, if you can follow instructions, you can make it work. And if you can, if you already have the knowledge base, it's supposed to be relatively standardized. I don't want to call it easy, because I don't know what is easy. But standardized.
I have a Intel Nook running in my rack with a fresh install of Ubuntu 24. So if my internet at home is cooperating today, I can VPN into that thing and give it a go and see how hard it is. I got a feeling it's just a few commands, and he's got this on a GitHub repository, and it's going to be a git command, download and install kind of deal, and that's probably going to be it.
Yeah, Yeah, the one thing that I have figured out is his goal is to build it onto a thumb drive and move it over to a computer so that the computer itself never has to hit the internet. So I think he's just trying to make it totally offline, off-grid, and still very functional.
Like, he's putting it on a USB to, like, an ISO, or like, an image that, like, he can boot into any computer kind of thing?
I believe so. I think what he does is he puts it on the thumb drive and then loads it onto a computer, and then it stays on that computer, but he has it as a fresh image on the thumb drive so that he could put it essentially on any computer at any time.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, I'll look at it. It doesn't sound like it's going to be that difficult.
Honestly, I figured you'd say that since you have some experience with this kind of stuff. So, yeah, it could be pretty interesting.
Speaking of Linux, have you fired up that iGate yet?
You know what? It is on, and I think I put... And I redid that whole cabinet the other day. I got to look at it tonight. I have a little bit of time. I think I got it plugged in and hardwired and everything. I got to see and then figure out how to get logged into it. And, I have not started playing with it, but I think it's powered on and sitting there.
When I set it up, I use... What was I using? I was using Real VNC, I think. And then I was just VNCing into it, and it's all enabled and stuff. So, hostname port 0? Yeah, hostname port 0. Then you'll be able to VNC into it.
Yeah, I'll have to, I'll shoot you a text later tonight if I have time to mess with it, because what you said makes no sense to me at this point, so... I'm sure it's very logical if I was sitting in front of a computer, but I'm not at the moment.
I still need to repurpose that other Shari that I built in there. I had this brilliant idea that I was going to have two nodes on UHF monitoring two different, you know, links, and that doesn't work.
It doesn't work, or it's not useful?
It just causes way too much interference. I forgot which one was pissing off the other. I think my clear node was interfering with the Shari. So anytime there was transmission on the clear node, it would open the transmit on the Shari, which would go out to the repeaters.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I still want to get one of those other, the small nodes at some point. Just not using it, my other node that often, so can't really justify it at the moment, but it would be cool to have one and have it linked to my phone and be able to use it at work and things like that. Cause I can receive at work, but in that building, it's tough to get out.
NADBF. I would like to build one or buy one that's like nice and small and just lives in the car and is always on, but I have not found a good way to do that yet.
Yeah, you know, Eric has one in his car, and Dave has one in his car. Dave, I can't remember his call sign. Lives in Rochester and is friends with Greg. He was showing me one day, he has one that lives in his car and is just powered all the time in there and everything, which is pretty cool. I'd love to have something going like that. That'd be interesting.
98 the other day?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be ideal. I feel like that's where majority of the guys hang out. I mean, they'll pop out here, too. Like, Sean's always out here. KZ8Z's out here often. And then everyone else has different schedules, so seems to be waves in the repeaters.
Yeah, I have not been, I have not even been turning a radio on when I get home. I've just been so busy lately that I just don't even turn one on. It's like the day goes by so fast, and then I got stuff to do when I get home, and I don't know, it's just wild. So all my radio time is in the car, which is not a bad thing.
That's how mine is. I don't mind it. Mainly because when I'm at home, there's just so much background noise, it's really difficult to play radio, so I get home, my Kenwood is it's in its cradle on my desk, and I'll turn it on every now and again. Like, I turned it on last night, threw my call out, didn't hear anybody, so I turned it back off. But I pre-ordered that Kenwood mobile, and that's kind of what I focus on, is just commute time. That's pretty much when I play radio. And then obviously HF, you know, when time permits, or POTA.
Yep, and it seems like the, I don't know if you looked at the weather for next week, but it's supposed to be pretty nice, so I don't know. It's early. We're probably not turning the corner, but, man, maybe we're turning the corner. We'll see what happens. Get out in a weekend or two to Wetzel.
I really hope we are. I'm so sick of this crap. I got so much yard work to do, and my driveway is pretty much gone. It's done. So I want to get going on all this, but we got frost logs and all that crap now. So, yeah, the warmer, the faster, the longer, the better.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I would love to be able to start getting into some of the yard work this early, and then it's, you know, really set up for the summer, and you don't have anything to worry about.
I was thinking about that the other day, how this summer is going to be spent in the yard, so it's not even going to be that enjoyable after suffering through the winter for the last eternity.
Yeah, but if, you know, if it get what you can on those early 60-degree days, I mean, the ground's still frozen, but might be able to start getting some stuff done. I'm trying to figure out how early is too early to start doing mulch, and basically, as soon as it starts going on sale for spring, I'm starting to buy it and putting it out, because I would love to have all that spread in March rather than in April or May. You know, some years when you get too busy, it's spread in June. But, yeah, just start getting stuff done. And if I can try to revive my front lawn, it gets direct sunlight, like, all day, every day, so it's just burns out. It's terrible. My back grass is great. My grass is awful.
Yeah, I'm down to do any yard work I can before, you know, actual summer, June, July, where it's a billion degrees out. I'd rather be sitting outside enjoying myself instead of sweating and doing labor.
Yeah, that is always the goal, isn't it? To just be cutting grass in June and July, rather than working hard.
I think I've got probably at least a year before I get to do that. Maybe two. Hopefully not two, but at least a year until my yard is sufficient to, I'm just going to go sit outside and then cut the grass.
Is your yard currently just a dirt lot? K-E-8-R-U-H.
Yeah, dirt, mud, whatever you want to call it, it's a mess, so I got a lot of work ahead of me. But if I can get the ground worked right when the frost starts to thaw and then plant seed, I should be okay.
So you are seeding, you're not going to put grass down and just roll the dice on that one?
Sod, you mean?
Yes, sod.
I got a quote for $19,000 to hydro seed it, so I'd imagine sod is probably upwards of $40,000.
Yeah, so you're going to buy a nice spreader and a couple hundred pounds of seed? Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, I already have the spreader from the last house, and I've got buddies with the equipment, so I'm going to buy some seed.
Yeah, and keep your $40,000, and, yeah, that's like, I don't know, 3-4 elk hunting trips, that's, or a quite the family vacation. I don't think I'd be spending it on grass.
Absolutely not. That's what I said. I'm like, who pays, who's your clientele? Like, who pays that? Even if you got that kind of money, like, that's just dumb. So, yeah, I told my wife, I'm like, if we're spending anywhere near that, I'm buying a tractor and we're doing it on our own.
Right? A tractor's a better investment at $40,000 than grass. So, what size is your lot?
A tractor and seed would still be under $20,000 with the implements and possibly a trailer. So I was like, there's just no reason to spend that kind of money for someone else to do the work when I could buy a new toy and do my own work and then any future projects, as well as snow removal in the driveway in the winter. So we're on 2.25, so we've got plenty of room to play with.
Yeah, for $40,000 you could get a tractor, all the tools, the seed, a trailer, and build a small pole barn to keep it in.
That's my thoughts exactly. So I said, thanks, but no thanks, and then just coordinating with a couple buddies. I got some machinery, another buddy that can hook me up on some dirt, and then I got to get some stone brought in, and we'll just start chipping away at it.
You still got to put a patio in at the off the back of the house and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that'll probably be the following year. I don't know what we're going to do. I want to do a small deck to a step down to like an exposed aggregate patio with a fire ring kind of deal. But my wife wants to do a huge deck. And I'm like, all right, well, Trex isn't cheap, so let's figure this out. So we're going to get the yard situated first because that's the most important priority. And then I'll probably just build some temporary steps to go out the back door for the time being. And then we'll figure out what we're going to do for a deck / patio.
You know, I built in a fire ring and regret it. Now these solo stoves are so good and they can go anywhere on your patio or deck that I would, if I could take mine out and get the real estate back that fire ring covers, I would absolutely do it. It just doesn't make any sense to have it and have it take up the center or a corner of your patio or deck when you can just have a solo stove and move it around, and when you have more people over, you can just put it somewhere else. But just my 2 cents. Buy a big solo stove and don't build in the fire ring.
No, I know. I like that idea, too. My parents have a nice patio on the back side of their house that's got a big fireplace that they built. And I would love to do something like that, but that's going to be further down the line. So it's probably actually a good idea. Don't do a built-in. Get something temporary that's movable so when the time comes and I build a fireplace, I can just get rid of it.
Totally. And the biggest solo stove you can buy is cheaper than the fire ring and the installation of it, that's for sure. By the time, like, ours has brick around it, and it matches the patio and all that stuff, and I can guarantee you they charged me more than the $300 a solo stove would cost to put that in.
NADBF. Yeah, no, that's actually a good idea. That's probably what I'll do is just buy one of those. God, I don't even really need anything to use one of those because my parents had one, but it fell apart, but it was pretty old. But, yeah, I think that's the move.
Well, it'll be awesome when it's all done, but I don't envy you in the meantime, that's for sure, because that is a big undertaking. Wonder how soon can you start putting seed down? Is it literally like soon as the frost lifts?
Yeah, so there's something called frost seeding to where, it should work pretty good in my yard because it's the soil has just got so much moisture in it right now. But basically, you go out when it's frost, and then as the sun comes up and thaws, it pulls the seed into the dirt. So, yeah, I mean, as soon as we're out of this, 30s crap, and we're teetering into the consistent 40s and 50s throughout the day, it'll be go time.
Cool, yeah, the sooner you get it in, I would imagine, the better, and then you can put that project to bed. Unfortunately, you probably have to start watering like crazy, though, I would imagine.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a spigot on either side of the house in the backyard, so we can do that, but it's going to be tough. So our main focus is really the front yard and around the house, and then, like, I call it the back 40, because we have a lot of standing water back there. We don't know if we're going to dig a pond, put in a French drain, or what, so we're kind of just like, screw it, I don't care what happens back there. But, I told my wife the other day, I'm like, if we can flip this house and make another 25-30% on it like we did the last one, like, I'm in.
Jeez, you're already talking about moving? Where are you going next?
I mean, I don't want to. I told her, if, like, someone offered us enough money to, you know, pretty much recoup everything we've already done and down payment and then some, it's like, well, then maybe we just move somewhere else that doesn't require so much yard work, which is going to cost a fortune.
That's always an option. Yeah, I know, we always have a similar conversation. Like, oh, what would it take for us to move, and where would we go, and, you know, the whole shebang. But I don't think we're going anywhere anytime soon. We like where we're at, and we like our house, so it's all good.
Yeah, that's where we're at. Like, and we love our house, especially on the inside. Like, we've started going through and, you know, I've redone all the fixtures. We've got brand new appliances. I started doing shiplap in the bathrooms. Like, we're finally starting to make it a home. The yard is just a very daunting project that's going to take some time. And unfortunately, I live to be outside when it's nice out, so it's going to be a process, and it's just going to take some time.
Yeah, and as long as you can get your head wrapped around that, you're going to be fine. It would be a very overwhelming project in my eyes because it doesn't sound like fun, doesn't sound like anything I want to be doing.
No, and it's not like, you know, working on something inside where, like, you know, you go to Home Depot and it's a couple $100 and you chip away at it. It's like a couple thousand every time you do something.
Absolutely.
Give me 1 sec, I go to ATM and ADDF. Absolutely the worst ATM I've ever gone through.
I'm guessing you're on Hall Road somewhere?
Yeah, the old Chase that's probably been there since the 90s on Lakeside Circle. I have, like, legitimately maybe an inch on either side of my truck before I hit something.
Well, they didn't make vehicles that big when they put that ATM in.
That's the worst part, is my truck's not even that big. If I had my old one, I wouldn't even be able to fit through there.
That is the nice thing about driving this stupid little car, is that I don't have to worry about anything. I get in everywhere, I can park anywhere I want. It's pretty nice.
Trust me, dude, when I had that Trailblazer as my company car, that was the best. It was like a little roller skate. I could put it anywhere I wanted. It didn't matter how small the parking spot was, I still had room. Any garage, tunnel, you name it, it fit everywhere. It was literally like driving a glorified golf cart.
I would imagine. Hey, I just pulled up at the office. I got to go in, so I'll catch up with you maybe this afternoon with KE8RUH. I'll be clear on your final.
Copy that. Yep, I'm less than 2 miles out, so nice and late today. All right, man, I'll try to watch that video today at work, and I'll catch up with you later. NADVF, I'm clear.
Good morning. 0800 hours. 36 degrees.
WATAP.
Good morning, KCATGO.
Good morning. How are the nasty, rainy roads out today where you're at?
They're wet. Snow is melting. My backyard is just full of mud and dog stuff. It's always expected every year.
Yeah, I always hate the end of the winter when everything starts to melt and then everything's dirty. The grass is brown and dirty and muddy and nasty.
Yeah, I came home last night and let the dogs out like they are, you know, normal routine that I do every time I come home. And then they ran around out back, came back in. They hit the mat by the back door, but still, they decided to bring the outside inside across the kitchen floor where my wife just knocked. You know how well that went.
Probably went over like a fart in church. Yeah, we still have snow up north, a few inches on the ground, so I keep checking my cameras up north to see, you know. There's still a decent amount of snow up there.
Yeah, one of my buddies at work has a property up there, and he's been checking his also. Because he's literally, like, in the middle of nowhere. That's what they call it. I guess that's what he calls it. I'm in the middle of nowhere. So he's been checking on me because there's still a lot of snow up there.
Well, up there is supposed to get cold again at the end of the week and snow more, so who knows. Then we usually get one more blast of snow in March. So I'll probably go up there. I'll probably get some snowmobiling in probably one more time.
Well, there we go. That'd be an advantage. Me, I'm done with it. Done driving in it, done walking in it, done working in it. Actually, it was a nice day, but I was still chilly. I was up in Saginaw working on a gate controller, and I was chilled by it in the next 10 minutes.
Yeah. And the wind doesn't help. So, anywho, where are you at right now? I'm over here in Sterling Heights, heading southbound.
Just getting into Richmond off M19, headed to McLaren Macomb for a follow-up with my neck surgeon.
You had surgery recently, or are you going to get a follow-up, so he must have had it. How'd that go?
I had it end of September last year. Took a month off of work just to recoup. It did very well. I had fusion on 4, 5, and 6.
And he had D-star on 2, 3, and 4. Man. Yeah. Luckily, I haven't had any neck problems. That's the only part of my spine that hasn't really bothered me.
Well, I had rotator cuff surgery on my right shoulder in April of 23. And then I went back to the surgeon a year later and says, I'm still getting, you know, numbness in my fingers, and, you know, I got tremors and everything else like that. So now I'm, you know, it's like things aren't going right, so sent me back to the neuro, did test, nerves are fine, did MRI, they go, oh, yeah, let's go see a surgeon. Ended up having one of my nerves pinched like 30-40%. And it was getting worse when I was starting not to be able to write. So, yeah, it was really affecting my day-to-day activities.
Yep. And sometimes
in the next week or two. I'm going to get an MRI on my back, see what they can do about that. They won't give me any steroid shots unless they have an MRI, so I got to get that done.
Yeah, I got a problem with my back, too. I need to go to a chiropractor before neck surgery, and now I haven't been there for quite a while. It kind of helps and relieves it, but I got arthritis in my upper spine also from an injury from years ago. I just live with it. Listen, until this pain gets unbearable, I'm just going to deal with it. I don't need no other surgery. The arthritis is there. It's going to stay. You know, I'm not getting any younger. KACKJ Freddy.
WAPAP. Well, you know, you're right. We're not getting any younger, except for the Donald. The Donald seems to be getting younger, he claims. I know he's out there listening. Huh, guess I was wrong. Yep. Yeah, there's a... I'm sure you've noticed that there's a definite increase in traffic on Tuesdays. It's like the most traffic day of the week. It's been that way for at least 20 years that I can remember.
Yeah, going down on 53, I try to avoid it like the plague. I mean, my office is up in Auburn Hills by Great Lakes Crossing, right around there at Oakland University. So I go off the back roads. I end up taking going through 32 up to Rochester and up that way. I stay off M53 as much as I can. You know, but since I'm going to Mount Clemens General, you know, Gresh is the fastest way. The only thing that slows me down on Gratiot are these trash trucks going into the dump. Once they're passed, then it's smooth sailing.
Fridays are light traffic days. So are Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Tuesday's the worst, and it gets a little bit better on Wednesday, a little bit better on Thursday. And now there's a more drastic contrast now because people working at home. A lot of people go in office on Tuesday and Wednesday, so that's a huge amount of traffic difference.
Oh, that's right, yeah. You live over there by GM, or you work over there by GM. Yeah, you get all those gates all the way around, whether it's Van Dyke, 12 Mile, or Mound. Yeah, that place is usually lined up when I pass by there in the morning.
Yeah, for some reason, there's a huge amount of cars turning into the Mound Road exit, or entrance, rather. And they fill up the entire turn lane and spill out into the main road, so there's like a traffic, little mini traffic jam right by the Mound Road entrance, which is weird because I've never seen that before. I have no idea why they're using that entrance all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's why I try to avoid that area like the plague.
But
not the beats being down in downtown Detroit, you're trying to get around everywhere and people don't pay attention to the stop signs or, you know, the one ways or whatever else. You know, they're weird down there.
Another thing I noticed, they just like to stop in the middle of the road and talk to somebody. You know, to see somebody next to them, just stop in the middle of the road.
Yeah, like they own it. Oh, I know what you're talking about. I had that in a drive-thru when all I wanted was a simple bagel. I was in line for 15 minutes at the pay window because some guy was on his phone because his app didn't work. It's like, dude, pull over to the curbside pickup, walk in, they figure it out from there. But no, he had to take up the entire drive-thru lane. There was like six cars behind me and he wouldn't move. It was just obnoxious.
Do you ever see those new car washes? They have a bunch of green, it looks like a charging station. It's confusing because it's green, you know, green energy, and it just looks like a bunch of charging stations, but it's a car wash. We got a couple of them around here. It's weird.
Oh yeah, Green Clean. Yeah, that's, you know, the one right there on Hall Road. Yeah, you see all the little green posts and stuff? Is that a Green Clean or Greenway? But yeah, they recycle, they filter their water and recycle it. Less waste, less and you get free, those are the vacuums. You get free vacuums when you go through there. At Greenway. That's what they are. I haven't tried one yet. My man has a ladder, right? So I can't go through there.
W-A-T-A-P. Well, I've never seen anybody in either one of those. There's a new one at 12 and Mound. Well, of course, there's not going to be anyone at today, but just to me, just the first thing that comes to my mind, it looks like a charging station. It gives me a headache. Anywho, I'm just pulling into work, so I'll catch you later on. Have a good one. W-A-P-A-P.
Well, enjoy a dry day at work, because you're going to be inside while I'm going to be outside here and there, probably. So, 73 again, catch you on the flip. A-T-T-A-O.
Good morning, 0900 hours. Cloudy. 36 degrees.
K-A-K-J-L. N-A-K-P-P.
K-3-K-S-F, listen.
N-8-K-P-P.
Good morning.
Sent you one big file last night.
Yeah, I downloaded it into Dropbox, and then when I get home, I'll open up my email and pull it down that way, print it all up.
Yeah, I got the M1 set up in there, so you'll have all of the outline repeaters that are connected to this one. So there's Lansing and Frankenmuth. There's a lot of towns that have repeaters that are linked to this one, so. And then I set up the roaming for zones. I set up the zone MI1, which are not the FBI repeaters, but they're linked to the FBI repeaters. I set up the roam, MI5 roam, so you should have that too.
Good, because I listened to DMRS when I was rolling the east and west, and that was like that. I got the license just to get the license kind of thing. So now that I have MI5 in there, I'll be a happy camper.
Yeah, it'll work out good for you. I took GMRS out of the scan rotation too. That had to be kind of a pain in the butt. So it's still in there. So if you tuned it to, if you set the thing on GMRS, it will scan all the channels, okay? But GMRS is not in the scan rotation. Follow me. So if you want to listen to it, you just go there, and then it'll scan the rest of the Hammy channels. But if you don't want to listen to it, just turn the dial to, like, FBI or something like that, and it will take it out of the scan rotation.
Cool, yo. Yeah, you like my little UHF to PL-259 connector?
Oh, yeah. That's fine, but I have lots of UHF connectors. I got lots and lots of connectors. I can hook up to anything. So it's actually an obsession, almost a sickness or a disease.
But for like $7 on Amazon. But but I had a hard time tagging it down on the radio, so kind of flip-flopped around. I think the threads are a little bit different than what the actual connect radio is.
I don't know. I got it in there pretty good. It felt okay. So, anyways, it's back on. Actually, I don't think I took it off. I just did the adapter. So, anyways, it's all good. I do know the roaming works, so that makes it nice, or the IP connect, or whatever terminology they call it. So, you should have them all. So, I got a code plug that Sean gave me. It was pretty close, but it wasn't perfect, but it was close.
Awesome. Thank you very much, sir. I'm going to try to get to the bank and pull out some cash for you.
Okay, whatever. So, I got that taken care of for you, so I'm going to step out here for a minute. I'm going to grab a cup of coffee from KPP. Great cup of coffee. I got to take the phone, too. Any KPP.
Your mind's a jangling 73, and you're fine on KPP. I'll talk to you on the flip.
WATNJ.
Good morning, 1000 hours. Cloudy. 39 degrees.
Yeet the G.
Arrest un maricón.
Good morning, 1100 hours. 40 degrees.
It'll be 6MET, monitor.
November 8, Mike Juliet, November, N8MJN, testing ICOM 705. Port 73, N8MJN, clear.
Good afternoon, 1200 hours, cloudy, 39 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours, cloudy, 41 degrees.
Make segregation great again.
Hello. Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 43 degrees.
KF8 BPA monitoring. KF8 BPA mobile monitoring. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Bravo Papa Alpha mobile monitoring.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Mostly cloudy. 47 degrees.
WAFU AB here.
Moon near Wapa.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 49 degrees.
KE8RUH.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Cloudy. 49 degrees.
NHKPP.
NHKGAP mobile listening.
Good evening, 1800 hours. Cloudy. 45 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 43 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours. Cloudy. 42 degrees.
WAFU, AB and PR. NHZKF.
WKF 8, AYL monitor.
Good evening, 21 hours, 41 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours, rain, 41 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours, rain, 40 degrees.
KF8, CWF, mobile, standing by.